Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 713. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I look forward to, as I know all of you do, to one day paying $87,000 for a Cheeto. Exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably right around the corner, Tony, but...
I mean, yeah, we paid $0 for that giant Cheeto in the Oval Office, but...
We're all paying collectively for that nightmare choice that some people made. Nobody here, but
wasn't fucking me. That's for goddamn sure.
Earl is here.
I'm just letting you folks know I'm implementing a 35% tariff on words spoken during this podcast.
We're all in the United States already, so we don't need to import them.
I'm still putting a tariff on it, you know. Oh, wait, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to remove that tariff. I'm going to give you folks a month to get ready. So prepare yourselves.
Okay. I don't think anything will prepare us for that, Earl, but we'll try. And Jeff is here as well.
Hello!
Everybody is amped up today.
That's a reference nobody will get.
Nope.
What
exactly. Is it a reference to?
It's a Twin Peaks.
New season?
Yeah.
Well, not new. Yeah. I mean,
the new season.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not spoilery, so I'll just say it. Because I told my wife next time I go to the casino, I'm doing this. Actually, I can't say too much. But basically, there's like a casino scene where the guy keeps hitting the jackpot, or you see someone else hit the jackpot, and the guy's like, hello! And so he just keeps going up to every machine going, hello! It makes way more sense in the context of the series.
I will wait till you force me to watch a few episodes of it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm interested to see if like you'll keep going or not. If you just be like, oh, that's interesting, but that seems like a lot.
I don't, after hearing over the last few weeks, you talk about, it wasn't even a revisit, your first visit to Twin Peaks. That second season does not sound like I want to revisit it, so.
No. You know, it helps that you've seen it all, because then you'll understand who characters are, but yeah, having it super fresh in my head, like, really made that third season neat.
And I'm weirdly coming at it kind of like, you know, anybody else that watched
like
it.
Like a lot of people did, yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't expect you to rewatch the whole series, but I am interested if you watch the first two episodes, which is what we're planning on, like if you're gonna be like compelled to keep going or not.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
It's been another week of insanity out there in the world. We're gonna do our best to take your mind off of that.
Sure.
Unless you guys have anything that you want to touch on from the insanity over the last week.
Get it off your chest. This is a safe space.
I mean, we already touched on the tariffs, which for the sake of this podcast, I think everybody and their mother understands will when, if they go into effect, would drastically increase the cost of a video game board, because a lot of hardware made in China and Taiwan. And I did not realize this, but a lot of discs and stuff are pressed in Mexico.
Yeah.
So you get it on the hardware and software side. And
yeah. Lots of people don't understand the amount of stuff we get from Mexico. And Canada, but like,
yeah, I mean, the U.S. operates at a trade deficit and has for a very, very long time. And
yeah,
like,
and I think that's what
tariffs have been something we avoid, because free trade is to the benefit of the American consumer, because we have more money than consumers in other places. So it's to the, like, people producing things tend to send things here as opposed to us sending things out there.
Somebody get this guy in the White House.
Stupid.
You get Trump's ear.
Now, to be fair, the one benefit of tariffs is that they force us to produce things here that maybe we should be producing here anyway. And so there are a few things that, like, you see, like, what's the big drug manufacturer announced this week? They're moving their drug manufacturing back to the United States because these tariffs make it cheaper to have it here. And, like, producing those kind of stuff that require a lot of expertise and whatever that have been moved overseas, like those kind of jobs, it's kind of nice to get those back. That's the one good benefit of the whole situation.
I was going to say, I think the problem is, well, I mean, there's several problems, but even if you were to, like, tariff everything up to, then you'd have to invest in actually producing stuff here.
Right.
And that is not something you can do overnight. That's not something you can do in 30 days. So it's one of those things where, I mean, everything he does is short-sighted. But it's one of those things where it feels like if it was a better man or a better person, you'd at least have a robust plan. Like, okay, this is where we need to be in 4 or 5 years. And like you ramp it up, we'll do 5% this year, we'll do 10% next year. That way, one, the cost is kind of absolved, but then it actually gives people an opportunity to, like, okay, we can. It's like, again, like the whole thing, like, it has been a shit show. It's been a shit show since he took office. But like the cars, he announced the tariffs on Monday or Tuesday. I forget when. Literally, like, that
night, 2 days ago.
There were reports that, like, you know, a car that was $80,000 on the lot was now something like $100,000, and nobody's gonna buy that. So that was like one of the first things that got carved out, was like an exception for, because again, in his little brain, it's just like, oh, you know, we'll just put a tariff on the cars. But then if you put a tariff on the cars, you put a tariff on the metals, you put a tariff, all the little pieces add up over time as well. So it's not just the final product, it's everything that goes making it.
Yeah, I saw somebody today make we get a lot of tomatoes from Mexico. It's like, all right, well, we can buy, like, especially Earl, you and I, like, we live, like, Jersey tomatoes are huge. Like, we can buy fresh tomatoes. I'm sure other people can too, but like Heinz and Hunt's and Ragu, they buy their tomatoes in bulk from Mexico.
Because they need a kabillion of them.
Exactly. To make ketchup and tomato sauce and, like, all that shit that people don't really think about is going to, like, your price of pizza is going to escalate.
Everything. Yeah. Because, I mean, and you see it with eggs now, because eggs are big, but eggs go into a lot of baked goods. Egg goes into a lot of cooking. That raises the price of just that stuff in general. One of the things I was surprised by, not I've heard about them before, but I think mostly I heard it in regards to the tariffs last year, is how much electricity we actually import from Canada. And if you were to put that on, like, I was seeing stuff where, like, your people,
I think they are.
They are. Sorry. Well, I forgot if he announced the day for Canada again. But
no, saying Canada is
gonna put a
retaliating with their electricity.
Yes, but I thought he put a pause on the tariffs again.
That's too, right. Other thing aside, like, don't you think it looks idiotic to be, like, going back and forth like this?
Yes,
like,
it does.
What happened
strong.
Is, like,
what are you talking about? It looks strong.
Yeah. When they started it, like, 2 days ago, like, the stock market, like, you know, started tanking. And, like, today, they're like, well, wait, we're going to, like, you know, like Earl was saying, like, carve out all these things, and we'll put a hold on all this stuff for another month. One, it just looks stupid, and two, it didn't really convince the stock market to rally after that, because they're just like, this guy's fucking all over the map. Like,
right.
You know what
all,
I mean?
All,
like,
the stock market is convinced is that you're stupid. That's all
they want stability. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the damage on that front is kind of like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, he's just an idiot, dude. Like, straight up.
Yeah. I will say, so a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Justin, he posted something. He was like, I wish people would stop talking about Daredevil and video games and talk about how we can stop Trump. And one, no offense, Justin, but I don't know if Blue Sky is the place to, you know, solve solve the Trump problem. Like I go to social media when I post shit there, it's entertainment related because like that's what I go there to view and escape from the nightmare that is happening everywhere else. So, but I'm not sure that like Blue Sky or Twitter or Threads is the place that you're going to find legitimate organizing.
Well, and that was going to be the other point that I was going to make. And I've read about this before. Again, I read about this recently. Is I've had the term for it, but then there's that whole kind of like social media advocacy where you think, oh, I'm tweeting about this, that you're
it's doing it's not doing something. Anything, yeah.
There's nothing.
So I'm just going back to calling people to fucking assholes and cocksuckers. That's what I've gone back to. I just use it as therapeutic yelling at idiots.
Well, even then, but I mean, you can say what you want, but if you say everything on social media and you don't convert that into actual action, and right. Whatever capacity that may be.
Yeah, it's meaningless.
It's meaningless. It's just, it's like someone you mentioned, a lot of it came from like the Dems performances at the State of the Union address. But somebody was like, oh, it's very much like when, during Black Lives Matter, when everybody would put up a black square on Instagram.
Problem solved, bro.
Yeah, that solves nothing. That does nothing. But
let's you know I'm a good person.
But yeah, that's what it is. It is very much we had not an experiment, but you know, I used to work fundraising and we had a gala event, and we'd always talk about how much we make during the gala, like we'd have a live auction for stuff and how much we would make during the auction and kind of how you could budget for it. So one year, you know, technology and all this other stuff, they wanted to try a different tack instead of people, like, you had to hold up paddles to bid for stuff. So instead of doing that, they were like, oh, people can, like, just donate or make bids on their own tablets at their table, and then we can, like, have a, like, tally. What happened was people didn't give because they didn't have that social pressure of seeing doing something. And I think that is very much what people do a lot of times on social media. It's like, I'd rather be seen like I'm doing something than actually do anything, because that takes effort and time. And yeah, so, you know, bugger off is the long and short of it, is because I'm in the same boat. I go to social media. I tend to post a lot of, you know, nonsense. That does not mean I'm not coping with this, but me shouting in the wind, me repeating the same thing you've heard 3 dozen times is not solving anything. It's not making your day better. It's not, you know, it doesn't do anything if people, I think that's sometimes the thing, if people don't think folks have the capacity to do more than one thing at a time. I can, you know, I can grieve for the country. I can start looking at options outside of, you know, just tweeting about it and still kind of engage in video games and movies and comic books.
First of all, I have a few things on this. Like, one, you have to, like, you can't make this your entire life. Like, you know, you have to live a life outside of world events, because largely you don't have any power to shape them. Two, as Chris said, Blue Sky is especially not the place to do it, because it's just like the little safe space corner of the internet for people like all the fucking shit on Twitter anymore. It's just literally people that agree with each other. Three, guess what? I'm sick of being, I have to do something. I'm sick of it. Someone else fucking do something. Someone else figure it out. I fucking voted. That's all I could fucking do. Fuck you. Maybe some of these leaders that we fucking elected could figure something out. What? Why the fuck? Why is it always like, I gotta.
They have,
like,
paddles, Jeff. They have
paddles and signs. That one guy stood up and said something, and then nobody came to his support. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, and
and then they all voted against him to be censured.
Jesus Christ!
And not all of them, but
some of them did, though.
Ten,
yeah, many of them did. But that. I mean,
he's a very bad boy.
I used to be very much in a mindset that I still have two evils, but the lesser of two evils only works if the other evil actually does anything. Like, what I'm surprised by, you know, not necessarily surprised by Senate or Congress, is that I'm surprised like nobody is attempting to be kind of that voice, because like you are going to have to start an election sooner or later for president. I'm surprised. I mean, I guess Gavin Newsom's trying, and he's doing it in the worst possible way.
Jeff's dude is Pritzker. Is that his name?
Yes. I have a better idea than Pritzker, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out. Two words. This guy could win the election. Bill Burr.
I mean, he can't be worse than what we have.
I don't want another loudmouth. I get it. I want an adult.
We had an adult. Didn't work out. She fucking lost. There's gonna be someone that like authentically just fucking arrives like Trump did for the Republicans. I'm like, Bill Burr, like he would pull some of the fucking Republican type people because he kind of codes that way, even though he's not that at all. I'm telling you, they should look into it. I talked to him.
But again, it's still one of those things where I'm surprised that nobody's going to be like the major opposition voice being like they just want to dunk on people. And again, I feel like that's very much a social media thing. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say they aren't. Like AOC, I think, is always really good at like articulating points. I think Jasmine Crockett sometimes gets it. But like, I don't think they have higher ambitions, and I don't know if the Dems are going to run another.
She obviously, AOC has higher ambitions, but it's like the Democratic Party acts like they don't see her. It's like she's one of the only talents in their whole party, and they're like, oh, fuck that. She hasn't put in her time yet.
There was a report that came out earlier this week about. Like 10, 15 Dem leadership people went to kind of regroup and find the path forward for the party. And their decision was like, let's go more to the right than we already have been. Like we're not going to listen to the Progressive Party, the Progressive Caucus. Like what are you doing? That's the stuff that people are actually interested in.
You always pivot to the right. You always pivot. Like, and again, I was wrong in the last election. I thought that was a smart idea by them. It did not work. But you know what you do? You do it again. Keep doing it. Keep losing.
But like, it's so fucking frustrating because it's like, it didn't work this time. And like, why would people that are already going to vote on the right be like, yeah, let's vote for like Republican lights?
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. Can I say something? While we're on political rants, dude, Hakeem Jeffries is awful. Terrible. Yeah. How the fuck did he get put in charge of the House on the Dem side? Like, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. I cannot stomach anytime I listen to that guy talk. He's terrible.
Again, I don't follow the news as much because I guess can, but I follow snippets, and it does seem like he is not for this moment. I think he was, he's from the Nancy Pelosi school, and it is a school for Nancy Pelosi's and the Mitch McConnell's, where that's the political world that existed in 2010 and before, where like,
Dude, I'd go way further. I think she's a million times the politician that he is. He's.
Oh, no, she is, but I think he was trained in that regard, and he just does not have it. And
he's playing politics by rules that are 20 years old.
He's a classic politician, which, like, people don't like. They just don't like that, and that's how it's just how he just sounds so fake, so rehearsed. He can't give you an opinion on anything unless, like, I'll have to focus test that and get back to you, see what people think, and then I'll tell you what I think. That's the type of politician he is. He's terrible. He should not be a leader. He's a follower.
And I mean, he isn't. And I think Schumer needs to go. I think the dude's way too old. And again, it's the same thing. And you know. Whatever happens, he can't be seen being disruptive and everything. I think that has to be out the window because you're playing blindfold with a wooden stick, and they've got like a bunch of AKs aimed at you, and you're just like, I'm not gonna take off the blindfold. I'm just gonna keep doing because these are the rules of the game.
Yep. So,
you guys get it all out. You feeling better?
No, but
not really.
I babbled for like an hour on Twitch the other day. Like, I don't know if I kept, we're ever going to get it all out, Jeff. So every day it seems like there's like seven new things to kind of like reassess.
Oh, it is. Think of how long ago, and that should still be a huge deal, that, and going back to day one, like, he let all the fucking people out of jail. Like, what the fuck? Like, I know it's long forgotten. Nobody cares anymore. But it's like, dude, you let all these fucking freaks out of jail. It's going to blow up in his face at some point. One of them is going to do something really stupid.
I think a few of them have gone back to prison. Mm-hmm. But it does not matter because it's like 50 other things happen in a day. So you just kind of.
I know. It's just.
But yeah, that happened. He brought the fucking Tate brothers.
I don't think he did that because the Florida Attorney General already announced that they're investigating them for human trafficking. Like, it's not like,
oh, good.
No, DeSantis doesn't like them.
Yeah,
well, that's good. Well, evidently Barron does. Barron Trump is a big fan. So
yeah, that's the rumors. Is like Barron likes him, and that Trump had something to do with getting them over here. But unfortunately for them, like, DeSantis does not like them. So.
And maybe Florida wasn't the place to land there.
Yeah. I was thinking of something else. I already forgot.
Anyway, I'm sure we'll have more random rants like this for foreseeable future.
Very therapeutic.
Also,
tell Trump, go on back on Twitter and tell Trump or go fuck themselves. It feels good too. I called one guy a Trump cuck yesterday and then he blocked me.
I mean, that's
a tough guy. Real tough guy. The funny thing is, like, if you click on his account, like his, you know, like his profile, like the, you know, the thing on his profile says, like, I'm blocked by, you know, like, he's like all proud about the people he's blocked by. And the dude blocked me because I called him a Trump cuck.
Tony mentioned it in the, I don't know, was it in your intro, Tony?
About the Cheetos.
Yeah.
Literally no idea what the fuck that was about.
Tony, you want to take this one away?
So, there was an auction for this, Cheeto that happened. It was a flaming hot Cheeto. That just happened to be shaped exactly like the Pokemon Charizard. And it was sold at auction this week. And it brought in at auction $87,000 for a Cheeto shaped like a Pokemon.
Why?
Somebody bought it. This person also votes, by the way.
They need to be taxed.
60 bids on this.
Yes.
Was the winning bid was 72,000 plus then I don't know what a buyer's premium is. I've never gone to a big auction. Basically, so.
The tax that you paid at the house. So that's what brings it up to that $87,000.
That's the what?
The auction house makes money off of these. That's
why. Oh, gotcha. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah,
like little fee.
So the seller made $72,000, and then whoever
that's insane made
$15,000.
Yes,
it's an insane fee. Jeez, that's a huge part of it.
So let that be a lesson to you all. Pay more attention to the shapes of your Cheetos.
Mm.
You could be eating something that's worth thousands of dollars.
I ate one that looked like a dick earlier. I should have saved it.
You should have.
I do like how they put it in this like. Case wrapped around looks like a Pokemon card.
Little Pokemon card, yeah.
120 hit points, fire.
I don't know how I missed this. That's hilarious.
Let's see if you missed some other stuff, Jeff. Acclaim is coming back.
No, I totally missed that. Really?
Yes.
Where did they go?
I mean, they've been gone for like 20 years.
For a while.
Yeah, I thought they like went out of business.
Earl, this has a tie to wrestling, I believe.
Yes, I believe Double J, Jeff Jarrett, is part of the organization that's bringing them back. So I guess give us the sell.
Yeah. So, what this new Acclaim? So, I guess basically they bought the name, and they're going to be coming back, providing funding, marketing, and PR support for indie studios. And they also bought the IP because they're also going to be attempting to resurrect and revitalize its beloved portfolio of classic IP. They were from 1987 to 2004, so they probably have a good library.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, because when we went out of business the first time, they sold most of their IPs. Mortal Kombat,
Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, all that went, yeah.
And then a lot of the other stuff were licensed games, like the WWE games. I think, you know, they did a few sports games. So I don't know what licenses they have. I mean, or what IPs they have. Like, just even to get their final year, AFL Live, Showdown Legends of Wrestling, Alias, All-Star Baseball, Carmen Sandiego, Worms 3D, Baldur's Gate, Darker Dynasty 2. All have either license or have different homes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Extreme G. I don't know if anybody's made any of those. It's also one of those things where I think it's more the nostalgia, because we're all of the age that we kind of remember a shame. I think the name was always ironic for a lot of people. It's not a, oh my gosh, a Kane, new game. This is, it's like, oh, a Kane. Like, again, even with their wrestling games, like I remember WWE Warzone, they made the ECW game. Even the Legends of Wrestling weren't great games.
No, I played a lot of Warzone with friends, but it was awful.
Yeah. I would even say Mortal Kombat was kind of getting under them. 4 was not great. And I think they were also around when, was it Demo Midway? Because they did like the mythology game with Sub-Zero.
Oh, which one was that?
That's Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, right?
Or there was another one too, right? Am I mixing
the other one up? Was good. The other one was good with Liu Kang.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I thought. That's the one I was thinking of.
Because they also did one with Jax, I want to say.
That one, I don't know. I don't. I remember the Sub-Zero one and the other one.
Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
That's dumb. Yeah, that was real.
That was Midway. But yes, this was a 2000s. It's one of these days we should talk about these random spin-off to very popular games that were forgotten to time.
We bring Midway back.
Is Midway? I thought Midway was still around.
Is it still around?
I mean, technically, Warner owns the vestiges of Midway.
Okay.
I liked Midway. They were a fun company.
Yeah. I would love for the Midway sports games to make
We were talking about that at work today. Like, me and some coworkers were just talking about, like, remember fucking NHL Hits? Slugfest.
Blitz, Slugfest.
Actually, I was the one that started it because baseball. They're talking about the show, and I was like, man, they need to bring back fucking Slugfest. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, fucking Jimmy Short, Slugfest, that's the best. I'm like, yeah, dude. Everyone loved that shit. Everyone loved all the arcade sports games.
Arcade sports games are great.
Yeah, they're better in my opinion for the most part.
Yeah, I think, and I think if you had continued onwards, you could have done some. I know it's harder, but to do it without licenses would be cheaper. Like Tech Mobile, I think, you know, you could have, like, that could be an arcade or an Xbox Live and PSN and NSO title you could drop every so often. And you could have extended it with Mutant League Football.
I was gonna say they do still do stuff like that, but it's like it doesn't have the licensing. I want to play as the guys.
It's funny that you just mentioned Mutant League Football, Earl, because like they've released one last gen on Xbox One, PS4, and I just saw on the Xbox Store Mutant League Football 2 is in early access.
Oh wow.
So it's like, I think I might have to. jump in on that one. Because arcade football's fun.
Yeah, I miss... I never played Blitz, but I played NFL Street quite a bit. That was really fun.
I think
you never played Blitz.
No, I don't know why. Because I wasn't into football till kind of after that ended. And so, like, the one arcade football game I played was Street, which was really fun.
Street's fun. Blitz is just a different... similar in concept, right? 7-on-7. But it's more like, it's a little bit more fast-paced. Games take like less than 8 minutes. And the original versions of Blitz were ridiculous because you would tackle somebody, but then you could continue to tackle them. So you could do like wrestling moves on them after the whistle blew.
Like pick them up and flip them over. Are you serious?
Yeah, you could get you could, like, suplex them, and that's it was great. Hysterical. I have the cabinet, the arcade one. They NFL made them take that out. There's no late hits in that
version. Oh my god, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
Who cares? What the fuck?
But Acclaim coming back with Jeff Jarrett. Also coming back, Jeff, I think both you and I are excited about this one. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Yes.
Coming in July.
Yes. I had to watch the trailer again because you know what I was most concerned about?
What's that?
The soundtrack. Because, the last one they did, it was like an awesome mix of, like, the old, like, the songs that were in the original games, and then some, like, new songs that fit in, and they're doing the same thing again. This says it right in the trailer, like, mix of new and old. I think it even says mix of new and old levels. So, we might have possibly some new levels in here.
Okay.
And it's coming to Game Pass.
It's coming to Game Pass, also PS4, PC. I don't know if it's coming to Switch.
It's so funny. I got an Xbox gift card, and I was like, what do I spend this on? I had a $50 Xbox gift card. And like that would have been like for sure the immediate, like right away I would have spent it on that. I'm like looking at everything. I'm like, no, that's going to be on Game Pass. That's going to be on Game Pass. That's going to be on like literally everything I'm looking forward to is going to be on Game Pass except for Elden Ring. So I just spent it on that. So now I don't even have to worry about that game, like whether I'll like it or not.
It's a very good year for Game Pass.
So crazy, dude. Oh my God.
I don't care because I don't really care about the skaters. I don't really know them either, right? Like, I know Tony Hawk and, like, maybe a couple of the other ones.
I know the guys that were in the old games. I don't know who the new gen is. Like,
yeah, I mean, I knew some of the ones in the old games. I didn't know them all.
I just know them from playing the games. You know, Rodney Mullen, he's good at fucking doing, what do you call it? The flat surface shit. Like,
okay.
What is it when you manualing? Like Rodney Mullen is really good at that. And like, but I know that I would never know that about like a person who follows that. You know,
because you aren't actually watching skating.
You're like, that's what Rodney Mullen is. Like he does this. Like,
well, I guess one skater that was in either 3 or 4, Bam Margera, who he was on Jackass, I guess, for a little bit. He also had that show on MTV.
Wild Boys. Was that him? Yeah. Was Wild Boys him?
I think so.
No, I'm sorry. Wild Boys was Steve-O and God, I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head. But he had Viva La Bam, which was funny.
Yeah, I mean, he probably showed up in Wild Boys too, because like he was part of that crew.
Yeah.
At the time, huge falling out. During the last Jackass movie, I believe, or before the last Jackass movie.
He's a mess.
Substance abuse problems. Well, they, I guess it's been announced he is not in Tony Hawk's 3 and 4, so they're pulling him out from there, which makes sense. You probably don't want somebody that is a loose cannon.
Was he in 3 and 4 as a skater?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in... I remember, you know what I remember from is Tony Hawk Underground 2.
Yeah, that's what it was like. Some people were saying that too.
it was very Jackass themed, that one. Like, it was just like leaning into, because that was really popular at the time, was Jackass. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him in the, I guess he was, if it's a story that he's not in it, but
yeah, so he won't be in the game. So let's see what else I got here. I guess the entire game, entire Assassin's Creed leaked, Tony.
Shocker. An Assassin's Creed leak? Never.
Never.
I guess the entire game is out there for people.
This type of leak is different than usual. Somebody revealed it on the airplane because they had their Word document open or something. Like, the game being out there and just playable is a different beast.
But I guess Ubisoft also announced it's going to be about 30 to 40 hours, so not 80 hours like Valhalla was. That's a nice.
I like that length. That's a good length.
That's
it's like
right length.
The tweener length now.
Yes. And Earl, you played Dead by Daylight, right? Occasionally.
Yeah.
I guess they are taking Pinhead out of Dead by Daylight.
The first one, I assume, licensing.
Yeah, he's not the first one that's left, because like what the Stranger Things stuff has left as well. So, and there's a new RoboCop Rogue City is on sale on Xbox, PC, basically everywhere. You can get it for pretty cheap now. I think it's like $10 on Steam. It's $14 on Xbox. And I think
on PlayStation last weekend.
It was on PlayStation. Yes,
we'll get to that. Still there. We'll get to what you've been playing.
Okay, but a new RoboCop game was also announced.
And, not new. It's DLC, right? It's a standalone DLC.
Okay, it's okay. So it's a standalone based on this game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool, I guess. Although Jeff said he didn't really enjoy it, but we'll see what you think about it shortly. And yeah, that's all I'm seeing here. Unless you guys got anything else.
Nothing comes to mind this week.
You know, there was a lot. There was a lot of stuff this week, but yeah. So what have you guys been playing, Earl?
Oh,
so you guys named Earl. Everybody named Earl.
So, you know, I had this whole speech set up. I was like, I finally paid that video game based off of that big 80s movie you folks have been dying about. And I actually did start Indiana Jones, but then I bought RoboCop. And yeah, it was, I think, it was less than $9 on the PlayStation, and it was OE. It kind of sucked because it went on sale like for Friday, and Friday was like the economic blackout day. And it was only on sale for the weekend, and I completely forgot about it till Sunday. But I was like, okay, let me just grab this right now. So I had just put EDF6 as well, and I did not touch that either. So I got RoboCop, and I was like very curious to try it out. And I will say I'm enjoying the game. I really do enjoy the game. The first thing I was saying, this is something I don't often think about when I play video games. I really kind of enjoy the sound design because it's the first person game. So you're RoboCop. So like just hearing his steps and like the heavy tunk as he walks and kind of the robotic nature when he moves is actually really cool and kind of really immersive in that regard. It's a first person game, but I do like that it's not necessarily like it's a first person shooter, but like the shooting aspect is, so far, I would say maybe 40% of the game.
What do you do the other 60%?
I mean, you're a cop, so you can walk around. Okay. You can give people citations. I gave people citations for graffiti. I think one person, I kind of feel skeezy, but you're a cop, so I gave one person citations for, I think there was like oil spillage in their car. And then, like Batman, you kind of have like detective vision. So there are certain times when you're just doing a case. So one of my first cases was a woman got murdered. They found her body. So you're just trying to track down who murdered her. It's like you know, you start off by like you see the tires and you figure out, okay, this is the type of car. You kind of follow it, or you know, you ask around the neighborhood to see if people have seen a car like this. They point you towards like a commercial shoot. You get a commercial shoot. You talk to the people there, and she's like, "Oh, you know, I'm having a problem with this actor. I don't know anything about this murder, but if you can kind of, if you want to talk to him, he has access to like the computer. You can read stuff. So you read his email, and then like it will ping up like, okay, this is useless. This is useless. Oh, okay, this is helpful. Then you go speak to them, and like it will give you a dialogue tree, and it's like, okay, you can talk to him about different ways, and you know, again, that might prompt them to do something, or it might prompt you to get another hint to go further. You go back and forth and stuff like that. I don't think this one ended in a shootout. I mean, it didn't end in a shootout. I don't think there was a shootout in this one. But again, with the dialogue tree, there's also times when you'll talk to people, and depending on what you do and say, you will like it will tell you, like, I think his prime directive is to uphold the public trust, I think is what he repeats. So like depending on that, you can uphold the public trust or you can be more lenient. And again, I assume later on in the game some of this stuff may come back. You know, like there was, so it's and then there's actual times when, like, because the first thing you do, there's a gang that breaks into a TV station, they take people hostage, they shoot a couple of people dead. So you burst in your RoboCop, and that's just a bunch of shooting, and that's just in on the basics of the shooting. The positive with that is your default gun, the gun he keeps in his, I don't want to say his egg.
Like the machine pistol?
Yeah. That's unlimited ammo. So you always have that on you. And then you can pick up one gun throughout the mission. Not like one gun, but like a gun an enemy drops, you can pick it up as your secondary, and then that has finite ammo, so you have to find more ammo, and they don't have a ton of ammo. I think like the assault rifle has like maybe 80 shots, the SMG probably 72. You can find other pistols and stuff like that. I'm sure there's other weapons further in the game. Oh, the turret guns, you can take that. That just has like 100 shots straight up. And you go and, you know, you shoot stuff, and it's very... The shooting kind of reminds me more of a light gun, like a rail shooter, where it's not on rails, but it's more, especially with his vision, because like the enemy is colored green or whatever, and I'm sure there's ways to change it, but I don't. So they're highlighted green, and you shoot them, but you can also, your RoboCop, and it is mature rated, so like you can shoot off rims, you shoot people in the gonads, you can headshot them, and it's a like critical hit and stuff like that. You know, you can shoot, like, again, like you said, it's like a machine pistol. There's certain times you can shoot through structures, or you can break parts of the structure to shoot through that. There is an upgrade tree, and I see, like, later on in the upgrade tree, it also gives you the ability, like, oh, if you shoot, like, the bullet can ricochet from behind them and come back around, or you have the ability to shoot people behind cover and stuff like that. So, I'm having a ton of fun with it. I'm really, really enjoying it so far. I'm enjoying kind of the very mundane and random tasks you get as well. Like early on, after the shootout in the police station, not the police station, the TV station, you go back to the police station and there's a bunch of little side quests there. One of them is like some dude's drunk and he's just like a mess, and some woman that doesn't want to deal with him. So your quest is really just to take him, grab him, and take him down to the drunk tank to sober up. That's all you have to do, take him and walk him down. And then there's another side quest where, you know, again, for the greater good, a bunch of people are in there for companions. You just have to stand behind the desk and listen to what they say. And you get, like, multiple options to figure out, like, okay, you know, like, I'll do this or I'll tell people that. And you just do that. And then that's another side quest. And again, it's, like, it's a part of being a cop. But it's a really nice and immersive way to do it. Where, again, I don't feel as gross as, like, again, giving people tickets for graffiti and stuff like that. I wouldn't do that in real life. But, yeah. I would.
Fuck them.
Wow.
No one else played this game? Or
I'm thinking about it on the sale price, because the, like, deluxe edition is... It's more expensive than what Earl just paid, but it's, like, $14.
Really? I mean, it's totally, I think, worth it for that. But, like...
Sounds interesting.
Did you play the Terminator game that they made? It's the same thing.
Okay, no, I didn't play it. I heard that one was good. Did you? I thought you...
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it. Yeah, I played through it. I beat it. And then I got RoboCop, and... I was like, oh, it's this again. Like, so what their games are like basically Fallout ripoffs, but like imagine Fallout with like no budget and a much, much, much smaller scope. Where it's like you take the tenets of like what that type of game is, like you talk to people, you have three dialogue options, you know, you have a skill tree, you have all these things. But it's like, it's just, it's very clearly on a limited budget, and it's like a very small contained environments. And like, yeah, there's like side quests and all this stuff, but it's like, it's really like very basic side quests. Like go stop this guy who's doing graffiti, or you know what I mean? Like, and I just kind of like, I really appreciated it with the Terminator one, because it was kind of a surprise. Like this. You see a Terminator game, you're like, that's going to be terrible. They're all terrible, right? And some, like, low-budget, terrible fucking thing. And it was low-budget, but it was, like, not terrible. It was, like, it was kind of stealing from other games. And you could tell the people making it really loved the license. And that's what these games are. They're, like, very budget games that, like...
They love the movies that they're based on.
Yeah, they love the licenses that they get. And, like, they're... good games, like they're competent, but like the main thing is it's just like, it's like Earl said, like the way when you're walking around as RoboCop, the sound it makes, like, and it's like very deliberate the way you move. You could tell these people like just absolutely love RoboCop, you know, like getting the station down perfectly, like what the station looks like. But like for whatever reason, I think when I played RoboCop, I was coming off a game that was like actually great. I don't know what it was, but. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, this is like good for what it is, but yeah, I also think I paid I think I paid $60 for it too, which made me mad, because like after a while I was like, I'm not really digging this. Like no, but like
$14.
If what I described to you sounds worth $14, absolutely go for it. Like I think both RoboCop and Terminator are worth owning for like how they respect the license that they got. You know what I mean?
No, I'm been, but you and Earl have just said like this $14 seems like this.
It's
doing
bad
for me.
I would recommend it. Like again, even though I quit very early on in RoboCop and I paid full price and deleted it off my system. it is at $14. It's like it's not like a bad game by any means. It's just a very. It's a very average take on a Bethesda RPG, like a very small, way smaller, limited scope, but kind of the what you're doing minute to minute is kind of similar.
Maybe I've not played Bethesda RPG.
Well, if you're enjoying this, that's basically what it is. Like it's just they're blown out with huge budgets. Except
the worst version of it. What it sounds like.
Yeah, but if you love, like, if you, like, and again, I get it, because I love RoboCop and I love Terminator. There's two movies that are my top 10 movies of all time. So, like, I get it, and I love that property, but it's just, like, I think when I, like I said, like, when I played it, I was coming off something that was, like, really good, and I was like, this is not actually compelling gameplay. It's just, like, serviceable, you know? I don't know. And just get it for $14, Chris.
The other thing I would say is that they also bring back Peter Weller, is actually the guy.
They get RoboCop.
Yeah, they get him to voice it too, so it adds a nice air of that as well. It makes me want to rewatch the movie because this is set between I think 1 and 2. Oh, is it set between 1 or 2? Or is it set after 2? No, I think it's 1 and 2 because it's. His partner's in it, and I don't think she's in.
I never saw 3.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, I've heard it's. There's a TV show too, but yeah,
a cartoon. But it has
no. There was a TV show.
Oh, like yes, right. Prime. Yeah. Prime. Yeah, it was like I don't know if it was on Amazon, but I remember Amazon having it.
Yes, like, yes. I didn't do it. I'm going to avoid that for the rest of my life. But
I will say this. You've thrown me down a rabbit hole. Now I need to see this.
I will say this, though. I really like RoboCop 2. I think that's like kind of unfairly shat on because it's not Verhoeven doing it. And it's kind of rehashing. But like it still keeps the flavor completely right. Like the satirical commercials and all that. Like it's still spot on.
I was going to say is one of my beefs with the game. And I feel like the game is...
It's not getting the satire.
Yeah, the game is very serious. And I don't mean serious, like, but I mean it's
just straightforward.
Straightforward, I guess is a better term. And I'm like, I feel like it's hard to communicate that level of satire.
I mean, people listened to the movie.
That is fair.
People watched it.
That holy hell, this TV show is only 4 episodes long, but they're all 95 minutes long. They made 4
miniseries. RoboCop miniseries, man.
Oh, I gotta find that. That looks like something I can waste time watching at work.
Do not remember if it was supposed to be good or not. I'm guessing not.
I think they're on Amazon.
Okay.
So, yes, I've never seen them, but I remember discovering them because I think it was on Prime at some point. I'm like, I don't remember the cover for this. And I think I started it. I'm like, I don't know this movie. It's not real. I'm like, oh, yeah. And it's a different person. I don't think, I forget if Weller is he in RoboCop 3 or is that somebody else?
I thought he came back I thought he was the only one that came back. He might not have been. Let me see.
I mean, he could have.
Who, Weller?
Yeah.
I think it was somebody else.
It is somebody else.
He came back for 2, right?
Yes. Yeah. 2 is like, again, 2 is like on par, in my opinion. It's not the classic that the original is, but it's like, I think 2 is like fun as hell.
Yeah.
It's like the secret of the ooze of the fucking RoboCop series.
Yeah.
Robert Burke. Robert Burke played Alex Murphy in the 3rd movie.
Yeah. And then I have not seen 3 in a long time. I just remember not caring at all for the remake.
Oh, I never saw that. I'm good
at that. Has Joel Kinnaman.
Yes, and Gary Oldman, I think, is a bad guy.
Yeah. I didn't hate it, but it's not memorable either. All right, that's RoboCop. Earl, you play anything else?
Yes, actually. Right before we started this, well, not right before, because I was doing something else, but tonight, when I was getting ready to, you know, unwind for the evening, Nintendo dropped 2 games on the NSO apps, and I had heard really great things about Donkey Kong 94, but I had never played it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So it came to NSO tonight. So I might get me give this.
Are you serious? The Game Boy game?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I had never played it. I didn't have owner on my Game Boy. I think it was But and then I think around the mid 2000s or maybe later, a lot of people started to talk about how amazing Donkey Kong. Well, it's just called Donkey Kong, but people call it Donkey Kong 94 to differentiate it. And because that is also the predecessor for what becomes the Mario versus Donkey Kong franchise. In some regards, from what I gather, the later games are very, very different beasts with the minis and all that other stuff.
I don't think I've ever played this one.
It's good. You should definitely buy it.
So, minor spoilers, I guess, or major spoilers. So the game's off, and it's traditional Donkey Kong. You play through Donkey Kong, so you know you're Mario.
Barrel's coming down.
Yeah, fire, all this other stuff. You defeat Donkey Kong. Well, you get to Pauline in the first stage. Donkey Kong takes her. You get her in the second stage. Donkey Kong takes her. You repeat this for the 4 stages, and then Donkey Kong's defeated, or is he? And then it opens up, and now it becomes like a puzzle platformer. And there's worlds and levels and stuff like that.
On the levels. It's basically Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
So, But it has like that thing where it's like, oh, we're just doing Donkey Kong on Game Boy, right? Like he just said, you get through Donkey Kong on Game Boy, and all of a sudden that was just like the intro to the game. You know what I mean? And that's then, cool. it is like hugely ambitious for what it was.
Yeah, especially for Nintendo to pull something like this, where we're gonna remake a game and then we're just gonna throw something radically new on top of it, and it's such a fascinating thing because it evolves the Donkey Kong franchise, of course, but even just like the pure movement, it's probably one of Mario's better 2D outings. He has a backflip, he can handstand. He can do all this other, and then there's a bunch of other aspects. He also has the ability like Mario 2, where he can walk on certain enemies and pick them up from overhead. That's how you get the keys and carry the key from the door and stuff like that. I'm only in the second world now because I have to stop. So the first world introduces these temporary blocks. So that you place them, and it might put a platform or might put a ladder, and you got to place them properly to, you know, get ascend or descend or whatever. To, you know, again, every stage is to get the key and then get to the exit, which some are easier than others. Along the way, there's like three things you can gather, and that gives you additional one-ups or lives or whatever. And then I think every fourth stage, roughly, or every so often, you'll have a boss battle with Donkey Kong. The first one was you just have to navigate while he's stuff is falling. So like he'll jump and it will slam the ground and stuff will fall from the top of your screen. You have to time your jump so either, you know, so you can jump with him and don't. But if you're like on a ladder or something, he jumps, you will just automatically fall. So it's also just finding a time that so that you can climb up the ladder in between the jumps before he does it. And then once you get there, you know, you capture, you know, you rescue Pauline, but he runs away with her. The second boss fight, which is the boss fight of the world one, was he's throwing barrels, and then you have to grab the barrels, run up the platforms, and then chuck it at him three times, which I thought was really fun as well. Honestly, right now, very early, I think, I'm only in the second world. But I understand why people love this game. It's very delightful. It's very charming. I like it.
It's on NSO?
Yeah, so the base tier.
Okay, cool. Might give that a go. Anything else, Earl?
I think that's good for now.
Jeff? What have you been up to?
I've just played Avowed.
Me too.
Getting pretty far in. I think I'm like about 50 hours into it. Finally reached level 20, so I can get the level 20 abilities. Mm-hmm. So, I guess like the warrior or barbarian or whatever the fuck they're called. And so I finally got the whirlwind ability where you can like swing around in a circle with your axe, which I was curious how that would look in first person. It looks like nothing. Like you don't actually see yourself spinning.
But you said you flipped the third person and it does look.
Yeah, you flip the third person, you can see it, and it creates a giant wave around you. So like you're damaging shit like within 10 feet of you in every direction. So that's pretty great. I'm having fun with it. I finally got a better weapon after a long, long time where I was like stuck with. I think it was like an exceptional great axe, and then I got something way fucking better. I got like an exceptional great sword is what I was rocking, and it was like, you know, 150 damage. This is not exact, but it was like 150 damage, 150 stun. And this fucking axe I found is like 100 points higher than that, and it does bleed damage, and it's also like. Visually, it's always bleeding off the end of it, like the axe, which is awesome. I'm having a good time. Like I don't know. It is what it is. It is like that type of game, but I still appreciate the things they add to it, like the platforming and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm not done with it, but it's just, to me, it's like I'm enjoying it, but it's, let me put it this way, once I beat it, I probably won't try another class. I'll probably just delete the game off the system. Like, yeah, it was fun. It was good. Like, it was good, one of those.
Chris? That's what I did. I deleted it off the system. I finished it. I ended up, I think I finished the game at 29.
Yeah, so we were talking about this. I was like, how are you done already? Like, holy shit. Like, you said you were completed, like, most of it. Like,
yeah, I did all the bounties. I did all the side quests I found, but I didn't pop the achievement for doing, like, there's an achievement for doing all the side quests, and I didn't get that. I did find all the, they're called Strangled Audra, which, like, if you go there, you get, like, a big
bunch of
the, yeah, there's only five in the game, but... there's also a bunch of, I guess they're called memories. I did not find all of them. I only found maybe two or three of those.
When you're walking around, like when you're going towards a mission, if you see like a structure that looks interesting, would you go like over and check it out? Like,
yeah. Well, at first I was. And then once I got to the third area, I was like kind of getting a little tired of this.
See, I still do it. Just because like I'm in no rush to beat the game. There's no other game I'm looking forward to. Like when I beat this, I'm like, I don't know what to play after this. like there's games I'm looking forward to, but there's nothing available now that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna play this.
Right.
So I'm like definitely not trying to rush it, but I also do it just because like you oftentimes when you go off the beaten path, first off, there's always like chests everywhere. You're like constantly hearing that like
a little chime.
Like, and that's even when you're staying on the path. When you go off the path, you're gonna find that shit too, and all of it is mostly garbage. It's like
it's all junk.
The game is like built around the crafting of it, so like it's junk, but it's not junk, right? Like it's like you need the stuff to like improve your weapon. Like the game is built around crafting your weapons.
And I'll say this. So I was just, you know, I had all these weapons, had all these, this armor stuff. Like, I don't use a shield. So like I was, you know, just dismantling all that to get this stuff. But you need like these special Audra pieces to upgrade to the next tier of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, what it was.
Common
to like superb, uncommon or rare. Yep.
And then common like the to exceptional one, to superb to, yep, you know,
yeah, to legendary, like the gold legendary tier. So, yeah. I didn't have any problem with needing like finding that to upgrade until like the red tier, where then it was like I couldn't find enough to upgrade my gun and my sword and my armor. So, I started buying it from vendors. Well, the one, it's expensive, especially when you get to the gold tier.
Yeah, it's very expensive, yeah, for the rare shit, the rare.
And then at the end, I like had enough to upgrade my sword to the final the final thing that you need to do. I had all the materials. That all, I didn't realize upgrading
costs still money. Cost
you gold.
Some of this stuff costs like a different currency, which I didn't know. Like, I noticed this last night. I'm like, that's not the regular gold symbol. Like, what is that? I don't even know what it is. But yeah, I noticed that like last night that it costs money to do this, which I did not realize. I thought it was just the resources.
Because, like, I was never buying anything until I needed those four. Yeah. And now it was like, money. So, like, you found like a cool weapon. It's funny, you told me about this quest
very early, like it's the first
very early, where you get a flaming sword. That ended up being my weapon through almost the entire game. I then found this thing called star metal or something.
Yes.
And I brought it to the dwarven blacksmith, and they made me a new sword, which was better. That it made me like an ice sword. And just like you, like the effects on it are cool. Like the flaming sword has flames on it when it's cool out.
To look at, right? I have a bleeding axe, dude. My axe drips blood.
And my ice sword looked like if you hit somebody with it, it would freeze them. Like,
yes,
it wasn't covered in ice, but it did have like a neat effect to it. But then I upgraded my flame sword, and I realized that like your numbers are tied to. So I was using like a short sword or a regular sword, whatever the flame sword was, and that's also what the ice sword was. When I upgraded my flame sword to that same level that the ice sword was, all the numbers matched again. So they just like that's where it is. So it's exactly what you're saying. It's all tied to the crafting. Like the weapons seem to have set numbers to, you know, where they how they upgrade. So like a great axe or a regular axe like upgrades to a certain point. Didn't diminish it.
You know what surprised me about you saying that though is like I just said, I invested all in the sword, and I thought, you know, I could have obviously kept going and kept upgrading it further, but eventually I did find something that was better at a base level. So I was like, well, I'm going to switch to this obviously and then upgrade that.
Yeah,
it's funny to me that you went through the whole fucking game with that very early, like, that sword is, like, it seems strong when you get it. It's like, does 48 damage or something. And it's like, oh, man, it's so much more. But it's like, I currently do, like, 300 damage with one hit with my, like, you know, my axe, plus bleed damage, which kills the other thing, the sword that I had upgraded 4 times, you know? So it's funny to me that, like, somehow you made it work all the way through with that early sword.
Yeah, well,
like, how did you not find something that was better?
It wasn't that I probably did, right? Like, I probably found like a great axe or something, but like, I don't want to use a two-handed weapon.
Use a shield.
I don't know. It's
like, I guess it's slower.
It is slower. It's like, the way I play like basically a dexterity build where I want to run away. Like,
that's another interesting thing is like you're mostly like bow based, aren't you? Or
I found that gun until I found that a rifle.
You got rid of the bow.
My rifle, from like I upgraded my skills, so like sniper and marksman. So like I'm doing damage from like 100 yards, 150 yards, obliterate. And like the gun
does it alert damage, the enemies?
Does like alert the like, enemies if you hit does, them. Yeah. But then I have enough time to like reload my gun again. And the gun does blast damage. Like the gun I had did blast damage. So it would hurt any other enemies around the person I shot. So I was like damaging other ones, so like then I could like load it again, and you know if they got up to me, they were down to like a third health anyway. And then my sword was able to take off the rest of it, so worked for me. I had a good time with it.
Let me ask you this: I'm in the Galloway. I forgot what it's Galloway something. Is that the last area or no?
So there's you're trying to find a place called the Garden.
Yes.
Currently. Yes. That is technically the last area.
The Garden or the
Galloway? Yeah. The Galloway Tusks is the last hub area.
Okay.
The Garden is the last area you'll actually go to, and there it's like one quest. Like it's a big area. Probably not as big as the other three.
The desert area was so big, man. I thought the desert area was the biggest one, the one right before that.
I think so, yeah.
I forgot what it's called now. Shatter Scarp,
yeah.
Yeah, that place was huge. It's sometimes be tricky to get around, too. You'd be like, where am I going?
And you'll do the quest in the Garden. And there's some neat stuff in there, some platforming, some combat.
There is really good platforming. Like, surprisingly, like, good first-person platforming.
Yeah. And once you finish in the Garden, then there's like some more story bits before you fight like the final boss. The final boss isn't in the Garden, but you know, it you go in like that final area after you go to the garden is very linear. Like, you can't go do any other side quests or anything. The world has changed in a different way. So basically, like, you can upgrade some stuff and you can talk to your companions, and then you can walk a straight line. It's basically like a very linear level to the final boss. So
you play normal the whole way through?
Did lower it in the garden to, was it easy or whatever the one under? Yeah. Because you end up having to fight these big stone guardian things, and they were just destroying me.
So when I still had my last weapon, I switched to normal. I think when we talked last week, I said I switched to normal. I found it hard the whole way. Every time I was playing as normal. And then finally, I like went into, like, I was near, I was actually like very, like an hour deep into it, like a cave or whatever the fuck, like a mission, right? And I was like, I have one health potion and I'm going to just switch to story time again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stuck with it now for like the last couple hours because I'm like, it's so awesome just walking up to fucking things and just whacking them once. Like hitting them one time, they go fucking flying and they're dead. And it's like, yes. It's a very satisfying feeling to whack like one of these guys with your axe and just watch them go fucking and die, like ragdoll die. Like, compared to like when on normal, it's like they're like sponges. Like, you're just like, geez, yeah. Dude, like, how many hits does it take to kill you? And, like, right. It is a drastic difference between the two difficulties, like, hugely.
At the end, I was just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Like, just.
I gotta be honest, it's kind of more fun on story time. Like,
the final boss, I played the final boss on easy or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine fighting that on normal or higher because there's
relentless and stages,
like,
and shit.
Yeah, and like you fight the final boss, they then, you know, you get them down to a sliver of health, they recharge. Like, it's all scripted, right? So it's like they're gonna recharge their energy.
Yeah.
And then they do it a third time. And then the fourth time they recharge it halfway. And that's when you're at the end. But yeah, you have to fight this boss
three and a half bars. Yeah.
Yeah. And fighting on, like, even if you have like 100 potions, like, they have to recharge and you can't just use them all in, like, you know, Kai or whoever you're using as your support team, they can get hurt and go down, so you have to go revive them. Yeah, I ended up finishing the game on easy, and I'm glad I did.
It, honestly, like, it's, again, like, it's weird for me to say, like, it feels a little more fun, just one step below the normal. But it's just, like, it's weird because they have like, 5 difficulty settings or something, you know, something crazy like that. And the difference between normal and the one right below it, which is story time, is drastic. Like, you go from, like, fucking just beating on a guy like 6-7 times to just what you like killed him. Like, this is fun. Like, I think that the like combat in that game doesn't lend itself well to being like difficult to, like, in the way that, like, you know, Elden Ring or something does, where like that combat just feels really good. Like, here, I think it feels better when it's easier. Like, I don't know,
because you're just whacking on people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's this awkward first person like melee thing that, like,
and
it feels better when it's easier.
I think both you and Tony said this last week. It's more involved than Skyrim, which was what, 15 years ago at this point.
I think it feels better, yeah. I think the combat feels actually much better.
And, and there's a little more strategy to it, too. Like, the enemies have shields, and, like, they'll have, like, a different kind of, like, health bar when they're shielded up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, there's a little more tactics to it, but it is still, you're just wailing on things, like, when you can.
Yeah, it just doesn't... Again, I appreciate it for feeling more deliberate, more weighty. Like you said, like, there's elements to it. Like, yeah, if they have the shield up, you have to get through that bar, or you could circle around their back and hit them in the back.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
I'm interested in, just because like the world itself is very pretty. I don't think it's a great looking game, but it's a pretty, like, the environments are pretty.
Yeah, I think I agree.
So I'm kind of interested in going and checking out like Pillars of Eternity and seeing like how the world, because like it's that same world, like just from a different perspective, like seeing what Obsidian did there. I don't know if I'll get to it, because like I still have Baldur's Gate 3 waiting for me to finish that.
Oh my god, you gotta play it.
What Rogue Trader waiting for me on my PC. Like, I have a ton of these games to play, but if I get around to it at some point, I'd like to visit Pillars of Eternity and see what the CRPG side of that is about.
Please, for the love of God, play Baldur's Gate before you play Rogue Trader.
Yeah, sure.
Please.
You gotta play Baldur's Gate, dude. You're gonna love it. There's some of the battles, dude.
Although, Tony, like, Baldur's Gate being, like, the new kind of high mark for it, I don't, maybe I should play Rogue Trader first, because...
No.
Just go to the good shit.
I think you can live without ever playing Rogue Trader, but, you know, Baldur's Gate's, like, the game you have to play.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate is...
The other thing is, it's such a commitment that, like, maybe you don't want to play another game like that afterwards.
That's true.
You know what's great though about Baldur's Gate is like every time I play that, I put like at least 70 hours into it, and I don't feel a fucking minute of it. It just goes by. Like, there's certain games like that where it's like the time just melts away, and Baldur's Gate is definitely one of them.
Jeff, did you play anything else this week?
No, I just about. I mean, I could tell you about Balatro again. A little bit of that.
Balatro is great.
What is Balatro? Never heard of that.
So lots of people are experiencing it now because it's
on Game Pass. So. I know, I'm a sucker.
Some people are finding the addiction to it and finding the magic in it, and others are like, I don't get it. It's like,
really?
It's like, so it's the on True Achievements, the site that I joined for achievement tracking. Their community game of the month is Balatro. And like, I checked the message board for them talking about it, and like, people are like, I don't get it. Like, and you kind of like look at it and like, they played two hands, and it's like, you don't get
it. Do you understand cards?
Well, they don't understand the appeal of it. It's yeah. Like, they haven't really played it yet. They played like two hands and like, it's just cards. Like, it's like, yeah, but you got to unlock the jokers. You have to get a successful run going. Like, you have to get to, you know, any 4 or 5 before it really starts to kind of
like shape
make
like,
sense.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going after straights, or I'm going after flush. You know what I mean? Like, as your run gets going, you kind of like go, all right, this is the shape of this run. This is what I'm doing.
And that's not to say it's like everybody is going to love it, but I think like, you like two hands isn't enough to like really get a feel for it.
I've recommended this so many people at work because, you know, hey, do you like poker? Yeah, here, check this out. Hasn't worked with anybody from work, but anyone else I've known in like life who likes poker, like who I've recommended it to, they're like my one friend, I recommended it to him, and he comes over and he's like, "You suck at this game. Like, let me show you." He's just fucking like, he's like watching the fucking Rain Man fucking play. Like, I'm just like, I don't understand what you're doing, but cool, it's amazing whatever you're doing.
I played I played all the way through Jak and Daxter, the first one, and then I started Jak 2. I'm going to make some people hate me, I think. I don't think Jak and Daxter is a very good game.
I mean, I don't care one way or the other, but I do know that like Jak and Daxter 2 is considered like a huge upgrade from the first one.
Yeah, no.
It's like an open world...
It is open world. It's like, hey, we took this. So Jak and Daxter, the precursor legacy, is an N64 style collectathon.
Yeah, and then like they kind of evolved it to fit with the PS2 era after that, right? Like,
yeah, I think the first game it's fine as, you know, one of those. I'm not a huge collectathon guy. And I don't think the platforming is great in Jak and Daxter. Dude, also, the camera sucks.
Ratchet and Clank is where it's at.
Yes. Ratchet and Clank, and then Sly. Like, Sly Cooper is
your stealthy, yeah.
Stealthy platforming. Jak and Daxter is like, they just made an N64 style collectathon. Then Jak 2 comes along, and we're playing that for VG Club, and everyone was like, oh, Jak 2 is so good. It's the one. It's like GTA and a platformer mixed together.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
And I guess, like, there's a
it's old, open dude, world it's city. Super old, you know, at this point, but yeah.
Yeah, except, so, like, imagine playing Vice City and if you were to walk anywhere, it just takes fucking forever. And then if you get in a car and you hit anything twice, your car blows up. So then you have to walk.
They should have adjusted that shit on the re-release.
And you're slow. Like, you're not very fast. So walking places just isn't, like, it's brutal. Like, and then you do these missions, so like it's exactly like GTA. You go to a place on the map, you get a mission, they tell you to go somewhere else on the map and do something else. And sometimes that is like a combat mission where you're escorting somebody. They give Jak a gun in this one, and you can hurt your escort companions by accidentally shooting them, which is terrible because they get in your way all the time, and you have to keep them alive while they take out other things on the map. Like, it's just, I think it's just badly designed, and I'm beginning to think I don't know if Naughty Dog is that great a developer.
yeah, I kind of agree.
Like, I like some of their games, but I never liked, what was the other one?
Last of Us?
No. Before Jak, the Bandicoot Crash. I never liked Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, God, I hate Crash Bandicoot. I think that's
a terrible game. I don't like Crash. I seemingly don't like Jak. I like Uncharted, at least the parts of it. Like, Uncharted 1 and 2 are really good games. 3 is fine. 4 is overlong. Lost Legacy is a really good game, and The Last of Us is a good game. Like, they're fine.
I'm just not crazy.
I don't love them.
I'm not crazy about the type of games they started to make, and I just think that they're like a little overvalued. I don't know. Like, they're fine. I don't know.
But it does seem like with them. So my big problem with Jak is that you do these missions, and if you fail them, they're like 4 or 5 minute long missions. And if you fail them, there is no checkpoint in between. So you have to redo them from the beginning. So then it's like 4 or 5 more minutes. Except when you fail something 4 or 5 times, then it becomes a half hour of you doing the same level over and over again. It's just not fun. So, I don't think, which is funny because Daxter is kind of like the main host of VG Club.
This is my favorite game of all time. Yeah. Just wait. See, by the second
one, it's going to be better. Coming in on, he even told me that. He's like, oh, it's a shame you didn't like Jak 1, but I think you'll like Jak 2 more. It's like, you know, there's more of a story. It's more modern, more like GTA. No, it's not clicking for me. So, Tony? Tell us about Monster Hunter.
So at this point, I played maybe 9 hours of Monster Hunter Wilds.
You play with Sean at all?
I haven't played with any actual people.
Okay.
Yet. I will say, though, I have fired off my Hunter Flare a few times, and I haven't had any actual people respond. But like,
really?
So, interestingly, so if people don't respond in like X amount of time, the AI will send in.
I thought the AI was supposed to be sent in as a filler until
I think, like, because I'm playing the lower level quests, and maybe people just don't want to respond to those yet.
Yeah, that maybe makes sense. Yeah.
So I normally get AI guys, and like, it's great because they never faint. So you never lose out on the quest rewards. So Monster Hunter Wilds, I guess it's very story based, and the story is actually interesting and compelling. About this like child who gets like separated from his tribe, which he can't figure out. Like he ends up wandering in the wilderness, can't get back, and gets picked up by this random patrol, and you're trying to like figure out, you know, where he came from and like what this monster is that is threatening his entire tribe and whatever. There's a whole like thing. It's an interesting story. It's actually worth playing through. It's also like, and having watched my kids play through this, it's also like you want to get through the story as fast as possible, because you can get like, and I did this myself, you can get hung up on the lower level monsters, like trying to craft all their stuff, like hunting them over and over again.
Right.
You don't really want to do that because you only need like the first couple of levels of gear to get through all of them. To get to the higher level monsters.
Beat the game with like low level equipment.
Yeah. Well, actually, so high rank, which is like where the monsters start getting good.
Yeah.
Is after you complete the main story.
Okay. And that's like where you really want to be doing multiplayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not into high rank yet. So if I were there, people would probably respond to my flares. But I am still playing on servers with actual people. And like, if I go out into the wilderness and I do random stuff, like I'll see people out there doing stuff. And if you find like a monster out in the wilderness and you start fighting them, it'll open up a quest that then people can join, which is cool. So you'll end up with random people in those quests. I mean, it feels the game itself feels a lot like the gameplay feels a lot like Monster Hunter World.
Mm-hmm.
But the world feel the actual like environment. I don't want to say world because the environment feels a lot more dynamic and a lot more alive. There's like changing seasons, and the seasons change like the things that happen in the environment, the sorts of monsters you'll find, the actual terrain. So if you like go into the forest and it's you know normal weather, it's fine. If you go into the forest and it's raining, there'll be like pools of water you can swim through, it'll cause certain like higher level monsters to appear. And then when the rain ends, like everything is like restored, and you'll see like the environment will be full of like new creatures and new animals. It's kind of cool to see how it evolves as the weather changes.
That's neat.
Yeah. So far, I've been playing mostly with the hammer. I like the hammer, wax things. I do want to try some of the other weapons. That is the one thing about this game is like no matter what weapon you choose, it's a good one. I've watched because my kids have been playing through it too. One of them is playing with a longsword, doing things with a longsword, which is like the most basic weapon. And he's like I played through the original Monster Hunter World with like the longsword, and I'm watching my son play, and he's like slicing and dicing and doing all of this. I'm like, you can do that? I couldn't do that. I have no idea what. And the other one is using like an insect glaive, which looks pretty awesome. Like it lets you like fly through the air and do all of these like flips and like land on the monster's back. Like, and I'm sitting here with this hammer and I'm like nailed to the ground, trying to like hit the same button over and over and over again to do the same like power attack. While my kids are like, you know, making me look pathetic, right?
They're flying and slicing stuff.
Like flying around and like landing on the monster and like doing all this. Finding the monsters is a lot cooler than it was before. So as you strike like the same parts of monsters, you'll cause wounds to appear. And then you can like hit those wounds over and over again to like hurt the monster and also gain you gear. And it makes the, or not gear, but, loot
materials
like monster pieces. Yeah.
Yep.
So there's like some advantage to like trying to hit those spots over and over and over again. It also like makes the battle look like the monster will scar over time, and you can like wound the same part multiple times. You can still break monster parts. Like that's still a huge part of the game, like trying to hit the same part repeatedly. But like the wound mechanic is super interesting. Watching the monster like get injured and like, you know, try to focus on those parts because you can actually see the wounds during the battle, which is pretty awesome. I want to get to some of the higher level. Like I've faced off against most of the new monsters in the game. A lot of the higher level monsters seem to be returning monsters that were in world like Rathian and Rathalos. So, like you've seen this before.
They've been in a ton of.
But there's monster like, I just saw some of the reviews and like some of them looked really cool, like kind of like new. Yeah, there are some new ones.
Yeah, and like I will say, fighting the monsters always feels like epic. It feels pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
Probably more so than world. Like I feel like every time you feel like you're in a battle for your life, it feels right, the feel of the game. Like if you watch some of the older Monster Hunter games, like they feel so like, I don't want to say gamey as the word, but like contrived, and like they lack like the realistic element. Like it just looks super cool. Like you're actually in combat with this giant creature.
They can feel kind of chaotic. You'll get like not ragdolled around and shit.
Yep. Praying that your palico comes and
you're picks you up. Flying and you're like, fuck, somebody's help. Oh, somebody's taking care of this thing.
Yeah. The environment stuff is still there. Like you can knock pillars and knock stuff down on top of the monsters and it all looks pretty awesome. Or the, you know, they can knock you into stuff and you can watch it explode. which is not fun, but looks cool.
I almost spent my gift card on getting this.
You were talking about what to move on to next. Like this is probably the game to move on to.
It will be. I'll end up just paying full price for it when it'll be on sale like a month from now. But like the reason I'm hesitant to buy this one is like I've played like 4 or 5 Monster Hunter games now. They're all amazing, but they are literally all the same game. So it's like, why would I buy? I think I've said this already on here. It's like, why would I buy that when I could just play Rise or World or whatever? Like, it's kind of the same. But this one does look a little better, and I do like that.
Yeah, and it's been a long time. Map. Like, yeah, like I did not like Rise. I kind of felt it looked kind of old.
It's because it's a Switch game, basically.
Yeah. Right? And same thing with World. Like at this point, World is really old.
When you watch side by side,
this
one definitely looks better.
Yeah. So it's definitely a good time to hop in. I would totally recommend. All right.
I'll probably be there in about a day.
All right.
And then you can come help me.
Exactly. Except I'm not that far, so maybe I can help you a little bit.
I'll be behind you at some point.
I've been playing on Steam. But there is like cross play, so I can still hop into your game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a friend of mine today said he got it on PS5 and he was playing with a buddy on PC. So it's like, well, if I get it, I'm going to get it on Xbox. But I guess we can all play together.
That was my thing. Like, if I can play on Steam, then I can play with anybody. I can play with my like kids sitting on the Xbox right next to me.
I love how common cross play is becoming. It's great.
Yeah. It's great.
Just took 20 years.
Yeah.
for the console wars to actually end.
Yeah. Anything else on Monster Hunter?
No, oh, it's a great game. Play it.
All right, cool. Play it. You play anything else?
No, just mostly Monster Hunter.
What were you gonna say, Jeff?
It's like I think it was like a very soft push, but I'm like Sean has been pushing me too. I'm just the only reason I'm hesitant.
You're almost done with Avowed. You need something else.
Yeah. As soon as I'm done with Avowed, it's going to be the next thing I get. It's like, there's no doubt about it. I love Monster Hunter. It's again, it's just like they're all the same. So, like, why am I spending $70 over 3 years or whatever? But, fuck it.
I think the thing that's like drawing me in is that, all the reviews said this is like, the story is the most soluble one.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, oh, well, because, like, if I'm not going to find people like you are right now, Tony, where nobody's joining your low level quest. There's
millions of players. That's crazy.
I think it's level, though.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense. Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go fight like a level, like one star, monster. Right. What the fuck? Yeah.
Which is what my problem with World was. Like, after a while, like, you know, people start moving on. They start doing like the end game stuff, and like I'm still futzing around the second area, and it's like nobody's coming to help me.
Yeah. The other thing is like when I've called people in, like I haven't actually needed them. I just kind of wanted to see what it was like. Like, I haven't yet faced off against the monster. I'm like,
that's what I heard. It's a little easier. I did hear it's a little easier. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm
fine with it.
It definitely feels easier. Like, I just remember, like, in World, when you see, like, Anjanath for the first time, and that it did that stupid fire attack and, like, eliminate you. I haven't had any moments like that. One of the cool things they've added, like, so your health bar has this, like, squiggly line going over it, and like if the monster is about to make an attack that can one shot you, like can just kill you right there, it'll turn red and you'll see the line like squiggly like mad, and you're like, oh fuck, and you just like run away, or you're like dodging, like mad, you know that that attack's about to kill you. So, you know, or you call the other thing you do is you call in your sacred, which is your little guy you ride around, to like, get me out of here. I need to leave. It's time to go.
Yeah. How's the mounts, that you get? Are they like, they good? Can you like ride around everywhere on them, or?
The mounts are cool for a couple of things. They're not that useful if you're like trying to like fight in the combat and do damage. Okay. If you're just trying to use your like slinger, they're okay. I call them in a lot because they're super useful for like pulling you out of combat so you can like ride them around and heal, or like sharpen your weapon. They're a nice way to get away, and that's kind of it. Like the emergency button you hit. Like you're like, I'm about to die. Come grab me. Exactly. And they like run right in there. And they pick you up, and you're gone. I go, thank God, I'm out of there. but if you're like, I'm gonna ride around on this thing and like fight the monster, you can't really do that.
Got it.
They just move to there. You sort of control the direction they're going. But you don't have full control over their movement. Which I think is a nice balance, because if you like control this thing, you could like actually use it as like a weapon in combat. Which I don't think is like what they're going for.
Right.
The other thing is they carry a second weapon. So if you maybe you have two different kind of hammers. Like you have a normal hammer and then one that does like paralysis damage. You can actually jump onto your secret and switch the other weapon. Or like if you wanted to switch between like a hammer and like a heavy bow gun, or like a bow.
Right.
Like, like just pull out a different, completely different weapon and use that weapon in combat. Which is cool.
Yeah, it allows you to change play styles on the fly. That's neat.
Yeah, I have been walking around. So I have a hammer, and then I have a heavy bow gun. And every time I pull out the heavy bow gun, it's a mistake. I'm like, I should just be carrying two hammers. Like I don't know how to use it well enough to like actually fight in the combat with it. Give me my hammer back.
What do you usually play with, Tony? Just out of curiosity.
You've been like in World? What did I
use? Yeah, or yeah, just in the series. Yeah.
Oh, a hammer. I love a hammer.
Me too. It's so funny to me because like I've played a lot of these games now. I think every single time I play the hammer.
Yeah.
Is the impact of it just feels so like,
it feels right. Bam! It
like,
feels great.
So like, you don't get that in any other game, so I always stick with it. But Sean always goes with that fucking, what is it, like the dual lightsaber thing, like the something glade or
insect glaive. So
he swears. He swears by that. Yeah, he swears by the insect glaive.
I mean, it works great. I've seen my son uses it too, and he just flies all around the screen with it. The thing actually does damage too. You like control the little flies. It flies around. It just I don't know. I like something in my hands that I can actually hit it with.
I'm just so addicted to the hammer with that series. Yeah. Like
The one thing I want to try, the weapon I want to try, and I haven't made myself do it yet, is the gun lance. Because it has, like, I want to try a weapon with the shield that can also, like, hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
The gun lance seems like it has, like, you can shoot it with the shell or you can hit it with the actual lance, which seems to do a lot of damage. So I want to try that at some point, but I haven't yet.
You know what I'm going to do with this new one? Hammer.
Hammer.
All right. Well, I imagine that Jeff will be playing Monster Hunter Wild
next week. By tomorrow.
It's been determined pretty much.
We may, the two of us may actually play some Split Fiction at some point next week as well. I just got to find a way to give Jeff the friend pass once I buy it this weekend.
Is it not a Game Pass game?
No.
Okay.
No.
Can you only get the friend pass to one person?
I don't know. So we'll find out once I get it.
It seems like it would be disastrous to just like let you just use that.
Allow you to just like give friend passes to everybody.
Well, that's not what I thought it was. I thought it was like.
Well, if you're playing with someone who owns the game,
that's what I thought.
Right, that's fair. That's how it was in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I think you have to pay with them. I don't think it's like, oh, you.
Okay. Like, oh, if that's how it works, then Earl, I will invite you as well.
Oh no, it's not. I was more curious because I like my assumption was like if I own the game, I could pay with you. I could pay with Tony. I could pay with Jeff. It would just be like you'd have to pay with me. It's not like I gave you a license to get the game.
Right. It's like you can only play with the person that has the license.
Yeah.
When does that come out?
It came out today.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. If you want to play it sometime, especially like right now, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm available to play pretty much any of those days.
All right. I will let you know. I'll probably buy it this weekend. So.
And then if next week is quiet and we shall see. I wanted to do I think we had talked about it at the end of last year for one of our Hall of Fame entries we would do the kind of the decade thing, so games in 1985 to 1995 and 2005, and pick one of those games to go into the Hall of Fame if it's quiet.
Okay.
Just because I don't know when I assume March Madness it starts next week, but I don't know when it actually starts.
I think it's the week after.
Then we can hold it to then.
All right. Let's work out how we want to do that if we're going to do like a tournament type thing, and we'll figure that out. So yeah, maybe in the next 2 weeks we'll have some Hall of Fame stuff. We'll also have. What movie are we watching, Earl?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. Yep, with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia, and so that's coming up. But maybe Split Fiction next week. Probably more Monster Hunter Wilds. And if it's quiet, we'll see what's going on. Jeff, say goodnight.
Hello.
It's not good night, but okay.